Shalom. I'm Stefan Yah with scriptures and comment about the Messiah, Yahusha. From the Tree of Life version in Isaiah chapter 42, Yeshayahu chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Ruach on him. He will bring right ruling to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice and make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He will faithfully bring forth justice or right ruling. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he establishes justice on earth or right ruling on earth. The islands will wait for his Torah. Thus says Yah, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and ruach to those who walk in it. I, and then I have to change the Adonai that was altered there. I, Yahweh, called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, by opening blind eyes, bringing prisoners out of the dungeon and those seeking and sitting in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh. This is my name. My esteem, and they put glory, I will esteem, or rather my esteem I will not give to another, or my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, now I declare new things before they spring forth. I announce them to you. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea with all its fullness, islands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities exult. That was reading that from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Then in chapter 53, and this is also with the corrections, I'm reading from the Tree of Life version in Yeshayahu. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, or the chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to his own way, so Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Because of oppression and judgment, he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the stroke was theirs. His grave was given with the wicked, and by a rich man in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him, he caused him to suffer. If he makes his soul a guilt offering, he will see his offering, or rather, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. Once again, if he makes his soul a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the will of Yahweh will succeed by his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge, or Yahweh will see the affliction of his son on the tree at Calvary. He will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty, because he poured out his soul to death and was counted with transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. And we cannot apply that to the nation of Israel. So that applies, that prophecy applied to the Messiah, and he came 2,000 years ago approximately and died for the sins of mankind. for Yochanan chapter 3:16. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here on Yahweh Yahweh, we're going to consider the scriptures and consider the names commonly attributed to the Son of Yahweh. Some say Jesus. Some say Yeshua. Some say Christ or Christos. Now the word Christos is taken from the Strong's Concordance Greek number 5547, which says Jesus, Christ, or JC, from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. The English form goes back to the Latin Iesus, which translates the Greek. But the original form was, it says, Joshua, or more fully, Yehoshua. Ho, meaning salvation of Yahweh. So that's the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Scriptures, or of the Bible. And considering the word Christos. In fact, if they used the proper Greek words that were given here by those who changed from Yehoshua, if they would use the proper Greek, it would be Iesus. And then they would have to sing and put, "What a friend we have in Iesus." And Iesus, the sweetest name I know. Then that would cause them to think, what name are they calling on? Or should they be calling on, as it says here, Joshua, or Yehoshua, or Yasha, or Yahweh's son, that is, in Yahusha, Yahusha. Ho, meaning bringing salvation, announcing salvation. And the Father's name is in the Son. Yahusha Messiah was born a Hebrew in Yeshayahu chapter 9, verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yah, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9:7, and that's from the King James. Then in Micah chapter 5, Micah 5:2, and I'll read that from the King James also. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is prophesying of the Messiah. Out of he shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of the brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his Yah. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Micah 5:4. Speaking about Yahusha the Messiah, and that was the prophecies predicting and prophesying that Messiah would come on that first time 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin. But his name is Hebrew. Jesus is not Hebrew. It is in fact derived from the Greek name Iesus, which is found in the Greek, according to the Lytle and Scott Greek Lexicon. Lytle, pronounced, or rather spelled L-I-D-D-E-L. According to that lexicon, Iesus is the Ionic masculine form of the name Iaso, I-A-S-O, the Greek goddess of healing. And once again, that's from Lytle and Scott's Greek lexicon. For the name Iesus to be the name to be the same as the Hebrews Yahusha or Joshua, it must also have the word salvation and the name Yahweh in the name, and it is not found in them. The Greek word for salvation, by the way, would be soterion, 4992 in the Strong's Concordance. And just before that is Savior, 4990, or Soter, S-O-T-E-R. Neither of those words is found in the name Iesus, or Jesus. But his name is Yahusha, Messiah, or Joshua, Messiah. In Acts chapter 4, we find the apostle proclaiming that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Also see Joel, or Joel 2:32. Joel declared that the name whereby we must receive salvation is YHVH. Truly, even in the New Covenant, that we must be saved, and Yahweh is found in Messiah's name. As the Messiah prayed in that classic prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, separated be thy name. Matthew 6, verse 9. And then in another classic passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, about salvation. Then Kepha said unto them, Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahusha, or the name of Joshua, for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. And then they were rebaptized. If they had an alternative way of having been baptized or immersed. In Acts chapter 19, Maasa 19, chapter 4, or rather verse 4, then said Shaul, Yochanan verily baptized, or John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on, they should believe on Messiah, Yahusha. When they heard this, they were baptized or immersed or rebaptized in the name of Yahusha. And in Messiah's time, there was no English J or W, English Latin or Latin letters in Yahusha's time. No J or W. And we also have the proof of that on our website, www.yahweh.name. Now let's look at Yeshua's name, at Yahusha's name, and we've already dealt with the extension Shua in other articles and other sound files that I have done. So there might be a little bit of confusion for those of you who haven't heard that, but you'll just have to slide over that for right now and maybe look it up later. It says Yeshua, number 3442 in Hebrew. Does Yeshua mean salvation? Was Oshia or Hosea, Oshia being Hosea or Hosea, and Joshua in the language of Canaan in Numbers chapter 13 or Bamidbar 13:16, where it says Jehoshua or Yahusha. These are the names, now this is 13:16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshia, the son of Nun, Yahushua, or Yahusha, with the correction there. On our Yahweh, we have used the name of Yahusha now for many years. So Moses called Oshia, the son of Nun, Yahusha. Now, from the Tree of Life, it says, Now he gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Numbers 13:16. The right Hebrew word translated for the word salvation, it should be Yahusha. I'm going to give a little explanation there of that Shua in the Hebrew. The Shua, crying for help. That's Strong's number 775. That's 7775 and 7768 means crying for help. The name of a female Canaanite in Hebrew or any language. crying for help is the first definition of Shua. And also from Strong's in 7768, it was translated Shava. Peel, P-I-E-L, the English word peel, to cry out for help or shout. And Messiah was not to cry out and shout, as we read there in the scriptures in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, and then the other scriptures too prove that. So then the next topic here is pronunciation. That's such a big thing, and overemphasis has been made about the pronunciation of Messiah's name. And they're actually trying to distract the true discussion upon how do you spell his name, not how do you pronounce it. It's not a question as to how accurately you pronounce each syllable of Messiah's name, not in how to pronounce it, for some people are mute, so they wouldn't even be able to talk anyway and say Yahweh's name. But the problem is in the spelling. Also, those who totally are against the proper use of his name and totally rebel against the proper use, and they they're coming along now. Some are starting to use Hebrew, some of the Christian leaders, and some of those who were even stubborn are starting to use that now. I noticed there on Christian radio, but the word says to publish and proclaim his name as he commands, and people will come to recognize who we're talking of. No, we don't have to compromise and just use a common name that is well known, like the Jesus. We will use his real name, and we'll proclaim his name, as the scripture tells us to do. It tells us that in many places in the book of Psalms that we've quoted before. So if this were used frequently, if Yahweh were used more, his name would become more identifiable, and so people would know who you're talking about, and you wouldn't have to use any corrupt pagan substitutes, thereby diminishing the opportunity of proclaiming the Savior's name. They would be using his real name. And someone will ask, well, what if somebody doesn't know the Hebrew name of Messiah? What are you going to do about that? Well, I don't know what their final outcome will be. We'll leave judgment up to Yahweh. We're going to be reading from the final Reformation, or Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Coster, regarding the Christos term to replace the word anointed or word Messiah. So this is from the hardback, the final Reformation, on page 74. It says, why Christ, similar to the foregoing components of sun worship, which had been adopted into the church during the Dark Ages, we have similar proof of the adoption of a pagan word or name, although less convincing of its absolute solar origin. However, we can clearly see that with the Greeks using both the Greek words Messias, transliteration, and Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, a translation, in place of the Hebrew Mashiach, or anointed, the English word anointed, the word Christos was far more acceptable to the pagans who were worshipping Creston, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-N, Christos, and perhaps all those worshipping Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A. The Hebrew word Mashiach has been translated in the Old Testament of the King James Version as anointed in most places, but as translated as Messiah in two places, in Daniel 9:25 and 26. And that says, know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, I'm reading that literally from the King James, Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or 69 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And that verse 27, skipping, He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And we'll also get a chance to read that possibly here from the Tree of Life in a little bit. Now, the word Messiah is a title, although it was used as an appellative name later on. Thus, the word was faithfully translated as anointed in the Old Testament, and only in Daniel 9:25 and 6 was its Hebrew character retained in the transliterated Messiah. Likewise, we find that the Greeks also admitted their transliterated form Messias in the Greek New Testament in John 1:41. And the word Christos in the rest of the Greek New Testament. I think that was supposed to be a question. Why then did they introduce or use the Greek word Christos in the Greek New Testament? Even if they preferred Christos to Messias, why did our translators transliterate the word as Christ? Why did they not transliterate the word as was done in Daniel 9:25 as Messiah, seeing that the Greeks had also accepted their Greek transliteration of the word, namely Messias, in John 1:41 and John 4:25. Ferrer's Fenton translation, the complete Bible in modern English, uses Messiah instead of Christ in most places where the word is used alone, except when used as the combination of JC. Similarly, the New English Bible has used Messiah in its New Testament in many places. The Good News Bible. And I'm not recommending the Good News, but wonderfully that they restored the word Messiah in no less than 70 places in its New Testament. NIV gives the alternative Messiah in almost all places by means of a footnote. But that doesn't make up for the other problems. And the alternative Messiah by means of a footnote. Dr. Bullinger in the Companion Bible, Appendix 9, says, hence the noun Christos is used of and for the Messiah, and in the Gospels should always be translated as Messiah. Benjamin Wilson, in his emphatic dialogue, has restored the words anointed and Messiah in many places. Messiah said in John 4:24, for salvation is from the Jews. Not only was our Messiah born from a Hebrew virgin, but also of his saving message, the teachings, in Romans 11, referring to the good olive tree, the Jewish olive tree, the root and fatness, the glad tidings, spiritual things, Romans 15, verse 27, the citizenship of Israel, Ephesians 2:12. The covenants of promise, the spiritual blessings, Romans 15, verse 27, are all from the Jews. Let me read those again there. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. The olive tree, Romans 11:17. Romans 15:27, the spiritual things. Ephesians 2:12, the citizenship of Israel. The covenants of promise, Ephesians 2:12. Spiritual blessings, Romans 15:27. The Good News Scripture, in its rendering of Romans 9:4, added the word true to the word worship to make it clear. And in the some of the other versions, too. A well-known scholar, Professor Julius Wellhausen, who in all his works expressed his hatred towards Pharisaical Judaism, nevertheless wrote the following bold words, that Messiah was a Jew. He proclaimed no new faith, but he taught that the will of Yahweh must be done. The will of Yahweh stands for him, as for the Jews, in the law and in the other pure scriptures that are classed with it. Our Savior could not have been known as Christos among his people. His title was known as Mashiach in Hebrew, and Messiah in Aramaic. That's spelled M-E-S-I-H-A in Aramaic, to those who accepted him as such. Matthew 16:16, John 6:69, This title is easily transliterated as Messiah and generally accepted, just like the Greek Messias. Why then have they not persisted with it? Even if they wanted to translate it, why have they not translated it as the English word anointed, as was done in the English translation of the King James Old Testament? Then in the come out of her, my people, I'm skipping up a couple of paragraphs. Who was this Christos or Creston with which Christos became confused with? We have already seen that Christos was a common Greek proper name meaning good. Came from good, G-U-D, and God. Further, we see in Pauli Wisawa, Allen Cyclopedia, under Christos, that the inscription Christos is to be seen on Mithras relief in the Vatican. We read in J.M. Robertson, Christianity and Mythology, that Osiris, the sun deity of Egypt, was reverenced as Christos. And getting a little bit of confusion going on there in the background. Justin Martyr and the Christians... Okay. The word Christos could even have been more acceptable to the Krishna worshippers because the name of Krishna was pronounced and still is to the present day as Krista in many parts of India. Let me read that again. The word Christos could even have been more acceptable to the Krishna worshippers because the name of Krishna was pronounced and still is to the present day as Krista, with a K, in many parts of India. Thus we can readily see that the word Christos was easier to convert the pagans with than the word Messiah, especially because of the anti-Judaism that prevailed among the pagans. The syncretism between Christos and Christos, the sun deity Osiris, is further elucidated by the fact of Emperor Hadrian's report, Hadrian with an H. There are there in Egypt Christians who worship Serapis and devoted to Serapis are those who call themselves bishops of Christ. Serapis was another sun deity who superseded Osiris in Alexandria. Once again, we must not falter nor stumble over this confusion among the Gentiles. Rather, we must seek the truth, primarily from the faithfully preserved Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 119:105, Isaiah 40, verse 8, 2 Timothy 3:16, and John 17:17. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth, as well as his Son, Yahushua the Messiah, sitting at his right hand. We accept every word. Every word is inspired and by Yahweh and is going to make a big change in all of us if we allow the Messiah to be in our heart and trust in him, not by our works, but by his unmerited favor. Also a note here, the Greek changed Elijah into Helios in the Greek New Testament, and the Helios worshippers must have been overjoyed because of their sun deity being assimilated to the Elijah of scriptures. To avoid confusion between Helios and Helios, we should abide by the Elia, the Hebrew Elia. Likewise, to avoid confusion between Christos and Christos, we should abide by the word Messiah or anointed, remembering that Osiris, the sun deity, amongst others, was called Christos. Mithras, too, was possibly called Christos. And that is a reading from Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster. So, how do you testify, then, to people who are not believers? How do you witness to non-Yahvaists? As I once wrote, how to witness to non-Yahvaists. Emphasize following Yahweh and obeying the Torah, his law, then confess his name and that the Messiah rose from the dead after 3 nights and 3 days in the grave, according to Scripture. That's Matthew 12:40 and Matthew 28:1, that he rose from the dead, and that we confess with our mouth that Messiah is the Savior and that it's the Son of the Father. We must confess, believe, and repent, and then be immersed. In the book of the Revelation, it says in chapter 12, the dragon was wroth with a woman. That's W-R-O-T-H. The dragon was angry with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, or the commandments of Elohim, and have the testimony of Yahushua Messiah. We have that testimony. His name is printed right on our hearts, and his commandments are on our hearts too. The covenant is the most important thing about being a believer, and according to Scripture in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, that new covenant, not a Gentile one, but the true covenant of Scriptures, is written, the law is written on our hearts and minds, where we can't disregard, we can't try to bring his name to naught, we can't get into idolatry or any other sin or iniquity or transgression. If we have that law written in our heart, we will occasionally will stumble, but that true character that comes from living by the Spirit of Yahweh, by the Ruach HaKadosh, we will certainly develop a good spiritual heart, an attitude of heart of love for the Savior. If we continue and persevere to follow Yahweh and to let it correct us, let the Torah correct us, let by the Spirit, and open the Scriptures, have the Spirit lead us in a peaceful conversation, not an argument, but a peaceful discussion about these important ideas. Very important that we don't want to hide Yahweh's name, we don't want to even whisper his name necessarily, we want to shout his name, we want to proclaim it to each other. So in the book of Hosea, as I'm getting to it now, Hosea, or Oshia, chapter 2, verse 16, which reads, and I think I'm reading here from the King James here, with any necessary corrections, where it says Lord, I have to change that to its correct rendition of Yahweh. If you look in the Hebrew, in the underlying Hebrew, it says YHVH, pronounced Yahweh or Yahovah. 2:16, in that day saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, which means my man, and shall call me no more Bailey or master, but call me Yahweh. In that day saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Bailey. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. In that day, and then there's more if you read on. By the way, not just by the way, but very importantly and paramount, that the name of Yahweh, YHVH, in Hebrew, from right to left, the letters are right to left, the four letters, or tetragrammaton, is Strong's number 1168. That's 1168. And also we find that in Jeremiah chapter 2. Thank you, Gene. Even though you wash with lye and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me. It is a declaration of, and they use Lord, unfortunately, is a declaration of Yahweh. How can you say, I am not defiled, I have not gone after Balaam? Look at your brother in the valley, recognize what you have done. What you have done, you're a swift young camel galloping aimlessly, a wild donkey used to the wilderness, snuffing the wind in her passion, in her heat, who can restrain her? So that was Yirmiyahu. And then we'll move on to chapter 23, from chapter 2, we'll move up to chapter 23, if you follow my trail there, the Torah trail. We're not actually in the Torah here. Okay, chapter 23 now of Jeremiah, verse 17. And also verse 27. They keep saying to those who despise me, Yahweh has said, you will have shalom. To everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil will come upon you. And then verse 27. 27. Where is that now? Right near the end here. Though through their dreams, they tell each other to be his companion. They intend to make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. So you can highlight that or mark it as I'm doing there in Jeremiah chapter 23. A very integral part of this study about the name and the names of Yahweh and his son. Through their dreams that they each tell to his companion, they intend to make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. Okay, that's Jeremiah. Then 1 John chapter 5, before we move on to the book of Psalms, or Tehillim, Ms. Moore, and if I can find the Tree of Life, that would be located somewhere to the right of the prophets. I'm going to line that one up in 79. I already have the 1 John ready here. And then we'll see here if I can do this smoothly enough. Okay. Ms. Moore, 79 is set. And 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 says, whosoever believeth that Yahushua is the Messiah is born of Yah, or Elohim, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And of everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also, him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. Or another rendition of, instead of Elohim, would be the Eternal, or the Sovereign One. So maybe you'd be more comfortable. By this we know that we love the children of the Sovereign One, when we love the Sovereign One and keep his commandments. For this is the love of the Sovereign One, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. You know, that one of the commandments is that we will not have any other Elohim before us. Verse 4 now, 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of the Sovereign One overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith being the belief system, the scriptural view of how we view our Heavenly Father and how we view our brother and how we see the world. And verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Yahushua is the Son of Elohim? Yes. And that we pray in the name of Yahushua Messiah. And that is one of the 10 essentials. If you're going out on a camping trip, remember that they have the 10 essentials. That one of those essentials is prayer. So let's make that our priority there, to keep that in our safety kit always, to have the prayer available to us, the option to, and even the priority to set, to take time to pray to Yahweh. So I think did we read Isaiah 26:13 though? Okay, we'll have to do that in a little bit maybe. But let's go to Psalm 79, if you bookmark that, 79 verse 6, concerning Messiah. Pour out your wrath on the nations that you do not... you don't pour the nations out. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on thy name. Then in Psalm 83, oh yes, unto Yahweh, who's full of mercy, full of loving kindness, full of compassion for us, full of, she said, 83, the nations conspire against Israel. And so I shall start here at the beginning. A song of Asaph. Yahweh, do not keep silent. Do not hold your peace, O Yahweh. Don't be silent. Don't be still, rather. For look, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you lift up their head. They make a shrewd plot against your people, conspiring against your treasured ones. They say, come, let's wipe them out as a nation. Let Israel's name be remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. Against thee do they make a covenant, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Even Assyria has joined them, becoming a strong arm for Lot's sons, Selah. Do to them as you did to Midian, to Sisera, and Yabin at the Kishon River, who perished at Endor. They became as dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of Yahweh. My Elohim, make them like tumbleweed, like chaff before the wind, as a fire burns a forest, as the flame sets mountains ablaze. So pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. Cover their faces with shame, so they may seek thy name, Yahweh. No, not Adonai. It's not. That's only a title anyway. But Yahweh. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever. Let them be humiliated and perish. Let them know that thee alone, whose name is Yahweh, are El Elyon over all the earth. That was the end of that Psalm 83. It says, how long, Yahweh, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy keep blazing like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nation, for the nations that do not acknowledge thee, on the kingdoms that do not call on thy name. So it looks like we might be in trouble for not calling out on his name. And then in the 102nd Psalm, verse 15, or rather verse 14, I guess it is, in the Tree of Life anyway, you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her, for the appointed time has come, for her stones are dear to your servants, and they cherish her dust. So the nations will fear Yahweh's name. For the nations will fear Yahweh's name, and all the kingdoms of the earth thy esteem. Yahweh has rebuilt Zion. He has appeared in his esteem. He has turned to the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. Let it be written for a generation to come, that a people to be created may praise Yahweh. Yahweh looks down from the Kodesh place, from his height, from heaven. Yahweh gazes on the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those condemned to death, to declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people and the kingdoms assemble to worship Yahweh. So, 26 verse 1, in that day the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He appoints salvation, and its walls and ramparts open the gates. Let the righteous nation enter, the one that keeps truth. Yes, in the way of your judgments, Yahweh, we have waited for thee. Thy name and thy remembrance is the desire of our soul. My soul longs for thee at night. Yes, my spirit within me seeks thee. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. He doesn't learn righteousness. Even in the land of uprightness, he will act wrongly, nor perceive the majesty of Yahweh. Yahweh, your hand is lifted up, yet they do not see it. They will see thy zeal for the people and be put to shame. Yes, fire will devour thy enemies. It says, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all of our works in us. And in the Tree of Life, Yahweh, you will establish shalom for us, for all our works you have done for us. King James says, has wrought all of our works in us. I like that language. And also it's used in John 3:21. Yahweh, our Elohim, other lords beside thee have had dominion over thee. Have dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Yes, but we remember your name alone is in the tree of life, but we will make mention of thy name. Yes, certainly. The dead do not live. Dead souls do not rise. Thus you punished and destroyed them and wiped out all memory of them. You have increased the nation, Yahweh. You have increased the nation. You are glorified or magnified as you have expanded all the borders of the land. Yahweh, you wrought, or rather they sought you in distress. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. And then in the KJV, in verse 16, Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Also see 1 Kings 8. As a expectant woman about to give birth, writhes and cries out in her pain, so we were before thee, Yahweh. We have been with child, we have been in pain, yet we gave birth to wind. We are accomplishing no deliverance for the earth, nor the inhabitants of the world coming to life. Yet it'll be, thy dead will live, my corpses will rise. Awake and shout for joy, you who dwell in the dust. Your dew is like the dew of the dawn. The land of dead souls will come to life. Go, my people, enter into your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until the wrath has passed. For behold, Yahweh is coming out from his place to punish inhabitants of the earth for iniquity. The earth will disclose her bloodshed, no longer covering up her slain. That's the end of that, Isaiah 26. There on YahwehYahweh.name, we've read a lot of scriptures here in this short time of about 40 minutes. Yahusha, Messiah, we talked about that. Christ comes from Greek 5547, and it's the same word used for Krishna, Christos, rather. Christos and Krishna are equal in definitions. We read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We also read an earlier reference there in Isaiah. I think it was chapter, Isaiah 7, if I'm correct. So anyway, also we read Micah chapter 5, Acts chapters 2, 4, 19, that's 19, verse 5. We defined Messiah's name in Hebrew, 3442, spelled Yeshua, in the Strong's anyway. We also read from Acts 4:12 and 4:10, be it known unto you all that by the name of Yahusha Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Then we confessed his name in Romans 10:9. We quoted that passage there about his name in Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. In that day saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day. And then we defined, or rather, we went to the Strong's Concordance, and we looked up that name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. And that was Strong's Concordance number 1168. We looked up a classic passage of scripture about keeping the name and not being silent in Jeremiahu, Jeremiah 23, verse 17, and also verse 27. Okay, 23, 17, and 27. And we stress the need for being logical, rational, and sitting down and showing some charity toward, or rather benevolence toward one another in the studying of scripture. And sometimes it's better just to leave the subject for now if there's a whole lot of confrontation going on and emotions, to just table that until later. There'll be another time, or somebody else can talk to them, so we don't have to be totally responsible for them, but give them a chance. And then they'll get another chance some other time, that Yahweh will give them a chance to discuss the scriptures, if that is their goal and passion in life, is to discuss and learn the ways of Yahweh. And we're going to be doing this for thousands and thousands and millions of years, to praise His name, and coming out of a corrupt culture, coming into a pure heavenly kingdom where Messiah is reigning from the throne, and we're worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, keeping His feast days, His mitzvah, His traveling pilgrimage feasts. Three times a year we will go up to Jerusalem and worship Him during that thousand-year millennium. So they did that in the first place I mentioned, way back in the scriptures and the Torah, and we will be doing that in the future, as it shows there in the book of Daniel. And for some reason I want to go to Daniel, as we close now to Daniel chapter 12, or is it Daniel 5? And I'm skipping all over, but and also keeping the feast days as shown in I know I don't have Daniel yet, keeping the feast days as depicted in Zechariah 14, and in Zechariah 14, and Isaiah 65, 66, and many other places, Book of Joel, and so on, Amos, and it's just throughout the prophets. Well, there's in Micah as well, Micah 7, Habakkuk. Yahweh's name is in there, and so are the feast days. Zephaniah, or Stephen, and Zechariah, Malachi chapter 3. Well, I can't find. Well, finally, my friends, I wanted to read from the book of Daniel, from the Tree of Life version. And so now we start at approximately verse 15 now. So now, Yahweh Eloheinu, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made for yourself a name to this day, we have sinned, we have acted wickedly. Yahweh, in keeping with all your righteous acts, let thy anger and thy fury turn away, please, from Jerusalem, thy city, thy pure mountain. Because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become an object of scorn to all those around us. So now, Yahweh, our Sovereign One, listen to the prayers and petitions of your servant, and cause your face to shine upon your devastated, set-apart place for the sake of my Yahweh. Give ear, my Sovereign One, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city called by thy name. We do not present our supplications before thee because of our own righteousness, but because of thy great compassions. Yahweh, hear. Yahweh, forgive. Yahweh, listen and act. For your own sake, O my Elohim, do not delay. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That's Daniel chapter 9. You've been listening to the program about Messiah, scriptures, and comments, too, from Stephen Yah here on YahvehYahweh.name. Drop us an email, Stephen Yah at YahvehYahweh.name. Shalom. Have a good day.